Amen. Genesis 32 here today. Genesis 32. I'm already going to tell you up front, it's going to last a few, two or three lessons maybe. We were first introduced in Scripture in our study of the Bible of Genesis to the name Israel last week, and I want you to notice this here. And there's a lot of confusion as I've studied it out. And heard this over the years, there's a lot of confusion as far as the difference between the Jews and Israel. I want you to think about that. It's not always necessarily the same as you study out Scripture. The Jews and Israel. It's very important for us to see this because I believe it helps us to understand Christ's ministry as well. Why did Jesus have so much trouble with the Jews? Why was he so accepted in Galilee? There's a reason for all of that. Notice it says here in Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but what? Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Also notice with me chapter 49. Genesis 49. All right, so here we see, of course, the start of the 12 tribes of Israel, as it's commonly referred. And now just before Jacob dies, notice this prophecy that he gives in relation to the introduction to this prophecy that he gives to his 12 sons. It says here in verse 1, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob." Notice this. Notice the two names mentioned here again. "And hearken unto Israel your father." Exodus chapter 1, I'm just kind of starting here. There's a biblical principle as far as study of the Bible. The law of first mention. That's what I'm working on, building on here with this here today. The law of first mention tells us, gives us a clue how it's going to be dealt with in the rest of the Bible. Exodus 1 and verse 1. "Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob." Of course, long story short, remember in Exodus here, we see that the 70 become a multitude in Egypt. Literally, in Egypt, Israel becomes a nation. Now, I want you to consider also then as far as the first mention of Jews. 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. Here's what I'm emphasizing. Just because Jews and Israel are mentioned in the Bible does not mean that it's always one and the same. It's not necessarily the truth. We often consider Israel and the Jews to be the same people group. That is not always true. I'm emphasizing that on purpose. Now, I want you to notice here, 2 Kings 16 and verse 6. "At that time Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave," notice, "the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day." This is the first mention of the term, the name, the Jews. Here's why this is so important. Chapter 15, for the sake of time, we're not going to look at it, but in chapter 15, we've already seen the fall of the northern kingdom to the kingdom of Assyria. They've already been taken into captivity. So now we see mention here of the Jews in the very next chapter. Here's why that is significant. We're talking about Judea or Judah. We're talking about the southern kingdom. That's very important as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. Is he the king of the Jews or is he the king of Israel? I want for us to consider that. Then I want you to notice in Esther, the book of Esther. Right? So after the northern kingdom fell is the first time that we see the term the Jews. So it recognizes the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Those were the two tribes that stayed with the lineage of David's descendants. Notice with me Esther chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6. One of the books of the Bible that has a lot of references as to the Jews is the book of Esther. I wanted to understand this. All right, so as far as the Jews, here's what I want you to notice in Esther 2 and verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, notice, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Notice, carrying away of the southern kingdom. We're talking about the Jews related to Judea. I want you to think about this. This is why this is so important. The northern kingdom were never called Jews in the Old Testament. Did you hear what I just said? The northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, were never called Jews in the Old Testament. That's very important for us to understand that. Because now we understand, with that in mind, we understand why there was such a conflict between the Jews and Jesus. Where did Jesus base most of his ministry, his 3.5-year ministry? In the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom? The northern kingdom, also known as Galilee. Galilee was part of the northern kingdom. Now notice also verse 10. Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it, to not acknowledge that she was a Jew at this point. Why? Because of her safety. Esther chapter 3. Again, there's many references. I'm just pulling out some here. Notice Esther chapter 3 and verse 1 and following. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of... Oh boy, this is bad news for the Jews. Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. Here's this thorn in his side, though. Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Why? Because as a good Jew, he cannot bow before someone who is not the Lord. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, "Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them, notice, that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And it says he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now here's why I emphasize this. Remember, Babylon took Judah, the southern kingdom, to Babylon. Babylon was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. Here's why we see Esther in the Medo-Persian Empire. They're talking about the Jews. Again, it's very important for us to understand that. Let me ask you this, as far as Abraham. Where does the Bible ever say that Abraham was a Jew? Where does it say that Abraham was a Jew? Here's why I'm saying this. We say that the Jews and Israel are the same. They are not necessarily the same. Notice with me Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Abraham is not called a Jew. Genesis 14, verse 13. All right, so this is in the context where Lot, Abram's nephew, was taken captive in his family. Genesis 14, 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Jew. Is that what your Bible says? Abram the Hebrew. And speaking of Hebrew, you read the book of Hebrews, you do not find one reference to Jews. You find reference to Israel. There is a distinction made there. Also want you to notice something else. Genesis 24, verse 4. All right, so how long did Abram spend in Haran? Quite a few years. All right, so where is Haran? according to Scripture? Is it in the land of Canaan? It is where? I'm glad you asked. Notice Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. All right, so by this time, of course, in his older years, he was in the land of promise. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, my country. Did you notice that? My country, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. All right, so then of course, he asks, you know, what if she doesn't want to come or whatever? But notice again, Abraham says, go unto my country, my kindred. What is that? Chapter 25, verse 20. Genesis 25 and verse 20. Verse 19 says, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. That's who Abraham said is my country, my people. And when I'm starting to read this and study this out, all of a sudden I'm thinking, that may be part of the reason why the modern Jews, the Zionist Jews, are constantly going after Syria. All of a sudden, it's making sense to me. Something else. Notice chapter 28, verse 5. Genesis 28, verse 5. Jacob was sent to Abraham's people, to Abraham's country. Again, Abraham did not have any land. He had not even purchased any land to bury Sarah at that point. Actually, he had just purchased, I should say. Chapter 23, it says in verse 5. I guess we'll just pick up the immediate statement here. It says, Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Now, also, it mentions this in Genesis 31 as well. But I want you to notice with me Deuteronomy 26. This is the verse that most caught my attention. This is just before they went into the land of promise. All right, so here's Moses telling the nation of Israel, just before they go in to claim the promised land, Genesis 26 and verse 5. There was a statement that they were supposed to say in relation to this special observance here. It says in verse 5, Deuteronomy 26, verse 5, thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. Notice this. A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. I've never paid attention to that verse all the times I've read through Deuteronomy over the years. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. Who's that? All right? Abraham, and also we see here mention of Jacob, because, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation. So we see here from Abraham down through Jacob, the reference to Syria, as they're going in to conquer the promised land that God had given to them. This is the first time they've possessed this. They're getting ready to go in the book of Joshua to conquer the promised land. Here's what they were supposed to say. A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. A Syrian ready to die. Abraham is never called a Jew in Scripture. I did a search, Jew and Jews. Abraham was never called a Jew in the Old Testament. Again, it's very important for us to see that. Notice Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Again, I'm showing you that the Bible has a distinction between Israel and the Jews. And if that's the case, then we have imposters over there in Zionist Israel. I'm not saying all of them are not Jews. In fact, as I did some study on this, most of the ones who call themselves Jew today are actually Ashkenazi Jews from Germany. That's why Marxism is related to Zionist Israel. That's why Karl Marx was a Zionist. Did you hear what I just said? Stalin was a Zionist. All of these dictators were Zionists. Why? Because Zionist Israel is related to Marxism and globalism and all that. Do you realize that America has placed itself under Zionist Israel authority? Did you know that? Our Congress in the early 90s issued a statement about that. Do you understand that our presidents, every president I think since Carter, has signed us over to Noahide laws of Zionist Israel? It's a fascinating study. Can I point out something here? That it's all related to this globalism thing that's related to the nation of Israel, the state, I should say, of Israel. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am, and notice this, an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. As we do a study of the life, or the word is, the statements, I should say, of the Apostle Paul, he makes a distinction. He was both a Jew and an Israelite. Did you hear what I just said? He was both a Jew and an Israelite. Here's why I say that. He was of the tribe of what? Benjamin, part of the southern kingdom. Notice here, he could claim to be a Jew because he was a part of Judah. He was a part of the southern kingdom. Revelation chapter 2. Here's a couple of verses here that say the same thing, and it's very interesting to think about this. Now, sometimes this is applied to Jehovah's Witnesses who say they are Jews and are not. No, we're literally talking about Zionists as well. Again, Israel and the Jews are not necessarily the same thing. Revelation 2 and verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Chapter 3 and verse 9. Chapter 3 and verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, one of the significant things about this as far as our politics is, according to a report from 2017, our former president, Donald Trump, became a Jew in a public ceremony. I've seen the video of it. Benjamin Netanyahu and all that. I mean, they show him. What do they call that little thing that they wear on the heads? In this ceremony, he's praying at the Wailing Wall, which is the fortress wall I've told you from Rome in the early 100s. That's not the temple wall. It's very interesting you do the study of that. Literally, Donald Trump has placed us and emphasized we're under the authority of Zionist Israel. All of this is a catalyst of the global empire. Now, here's as far as Jesus, I want you to notice John chapter 1. Here's why I say there's a distinction between Israel and the Jews. And I believe if we study this out, there's some things in the Gospels that become very clear as far as understanding why Jesus had conflict with the Jews, but yet multitudes followed him and believed on him. Notice John chapter 1 and verse 43. John chapter 1 and verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into what? Galilee, which is in the north. Again, it's very important for us to catch this. And findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth in the north, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, that's like us saying, you live on the other side of the tracks type of thing. We do, by the way. That's why they don't fix these tracks down here. Because we're on the other side, so why do they need to fix them? Because, you know, the other side of the tracks can just deal with them. Lose a tire and, you know, wheel in there or whatever. But Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. An Israelite. He does not say, behold, a Jew indeed in whom is no guile. That's very important to catch that. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said, saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, his deity. Thou art the King of the Jews. Is that what he said? He's in the northern kingdom. He's in Galilee. That's why he does not say King of the Jews. Notice, thou art the King of Israel, the northern kingdom. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Also notice Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So is he King of Israel or the King of the Jews? Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. It's December, so I got to throw in something here about Jesus' birth. Even though he wasn't born in December, but anyway. Matthew 2 verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of, notice, Judea in the days of Herod the king. Judea is where? Northern or southern? Southern. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of Israel? Is that what the Bible says? King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now pause there just a moment. Press the pause button. Notice here these wise men show up in Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. Now let me ask you, where are they from? It says they are from the east. More than likely they are from Babylon. Guess who took a captive of the southern kingdom? Babylon. Their understanding is from the Jews that were in Babylon. But you notice again, the reference here is he was born in Judea. Now we're going to see here, as far as Jesus is concerned, he has a right by birth to the southern kingdom, but he's going to be called a Nazarene from the northern kingdom. That's why he is legitimately the King of Israel, but also the King of the Jews. It says verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, notice the chief priests and the scribes, these are the ruling elite. These are the Jews that Jesus dealt with. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Notice this very clearly. Quoting from Micah 5:2, and it says, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, the Jews, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, not just the southern kingdom. Jesus Christ has a right to reign, rule and reign through all of Israel. But again, by birth he's in Judah, he lived most of his life in Galilee, the northern kingdom. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when thou hast found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the manger, no, he's living in Judah, up to, probably not including 2 years, but at least for some time, they were living in a house in Bethlehem. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him, not them. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him, not them, gifts. Again, they were not worshiping Mary one bit. They were not even worshiping Joseph as the father. You understand the Trinity of Catholics, right? Joseph is the father. The Spirit is the mother. The Son is Jesus. We're not talking about the Godhead. We're talking about idol worship. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They decided not to, they were warned, I should say, to go elsewhere. So notice it says then that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, and so long story short, they flee into Egypt. But here's what I want you to then see. Verse 15, of course, fulfillment of prophecy, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. Notice he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, southern kingdom, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of where? Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken in the by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarite. Is that what the Bible says? We've got to stop reading things that the Bible's not saying. There is no indication that he was a Nazarite. That's part of the excuse for giving Jesus long hair. By the way, the Nazarites did not have long hair. Can you imagine not ever cutting your hair your entire life? No, it talks about not shaving the locks of the head. He shall be called a Nazarene, northern or southern. Notice, Jesus Christ had claimed to both the southern and northern kingdom as king of Israel. Now, as far as this term, king of the Jews, I want you to notice Mark 15. Actually, we're here in Matthew. Notice Matthew 27 first, I guess. Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. All right, so John 1 says he's called the king of Israel by somebody who's in the north. All right, so now as Jesus is crucified, he's in the northern or southern part of Israel. The southern part, he's now dealing with the Jews, part of the southern kingdom. Notice here it says in Matthew 27, verse 1, so when the morning was come, this is, of course, after his arrest and all that, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people, these are the ruling class of the Jews, took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, of course, the Roman official. Then notice with me verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews, northern or southern? Southern. Are you catching this? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Where does it ever say that Jesus says, I am? Okay, let's look at Mark 15 then. What did he answer to Pilate? Thou sayest. You said that. That's what he said. Also notice in Mark 15, verse 1, it says, straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes. Notice the ruling class and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Here's the question again. And he answering said unto him, I am. Is that what he says? All the I am statements Jesus makes in the Bible, he never says to Pilate, I am the king of the Jews. Thou sayest it. The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And you notice here, verse 26, this is what Pilate puts above Jesus on the cross. The superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Now, the religious leaders had a problem with that. Do not put the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Notice with me Luke 23. Luke 23. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Pilate's whole reference with this is the Jews, not Galilee. And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Notice, all three of these gospel accounts, thou sayest it. You said that. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in this man. And notice they were the more fierce saying. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, the southern kingdom, and then notice, beginning from Galilee to this place. Notice northern and southern Israel. When Pilate heard of Galilee, here's my loophole. I can get rid of this situation. I don't have to deal with it. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether or not the man were a Galilean, the northern kingdom. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And of course, Herod was excited about this because he thought maybe this was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Somehow he got his head again, and he's walking around and doing miracles. Verse 12, the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. But notice again the ruling elite in verse 13. Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, notice, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me. He says, I find no fault in him, touching any of those things whereof ye accuse him, nor yet Herod. Notice the end of verse 15, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. No legal problems. Notice Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We'll kind of finish up with this here, I guess. I knew I wasn't going to get real far. But Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Which tribe was David out of? Judah. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, all of Israel, and his kingdom there, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Also, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 21. So this is the Apostle Paul giving a history lesson here. Verse 21, afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, southern kingdom, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And he's also going to be king. I'm trying to finish up, trying to figure out where to wrap this up. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Did Jesus Christ come the first time to be a king? Did Jesus Christ come the first time to be a king? Why did he come the first time? To be our Savior. And I've told you this before, but there was a dispensationalist course that I took for credit. And this was a recorded course. And this teacher, this professor, this course said, made this statement. And all of a sudden, I mean, it grabbed my attention. Heresy! Here's the statement. If the Jews had accepted Jesus as their Messiah, he would not have gone to the cross. What's wrong with that statement? We have no Savior. That's not why he came the first time. Jesus himself said that. Notice verse 28 of John 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. You know, they wanted to protect themselves to observe their Jewish observances, but yet they're going to kill somebody, unjustly kill somebody, but that they might eat the Passover. That's why John calls it the Jews' Passover and not the Lord's Passover, by the way. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, a criminal, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Notice, they're not going to tell him. We already know he's a criminal. Take care of it, Pilate. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. Notice, the Jews. Therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die, on a cross, not by stoning. And Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Notice the full answer is given here in John. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? He's a Roman. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Notice what Jesus says in verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, you said it. He's not claiming to be a king. To this end was I born. This is his whole purpose for his earthly ministry. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. Notice how many times John says the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. And saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. At the end of verse 39, the king of the Jews. Then notice chapter 19, verse 19. Notice this is the full superscription that was put on the cross. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of what? Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Notice that. Northern and Southern. Verse 21. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Jesus never claimed that. Jesus said, someday afterward, you will see me sitting on a throne, the throne of David. Now I want to kind of give you something to think about. Jesus' disciples, just think carefully at this. Were Jesus' disciples Jews? Where were they from? The northern kingdom of Galilee, except for one. Guess who that one was? Judas was a Jew. When I saw this, I guess who betrayed him to the Jews? Iscariot tells where he's from. In the area of Judah, a Jew. I can say a study of this opens up all kinds of things of understanding. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to understand the deception, first of all, of our day. Just because people claim to be Jews in the state of Israel does not mean they are of Israel. Most of them are not even descendants of Abraham. Father, I pray that you'd also help us to have understanding of Christ's ministry. There's a reason why Jesus did battle with the Jews. Lord, help us to have understanding. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.